My beloved, I have called you all here for such a time as this. Find it not strange. I have set new hope in Nassau because the church is like a beaver dam. In a stream, it will not be destroyed. New hope, over the years, you have grasped the heel of God. You have stood strong and said that God is my judge. In whom shall we fear? God has been gracious and shown favor to New Hope, so be encouraged. There will be a blooming field ready for harvest in the near future. I have set many precious stones and stars of the sea among you. I have given you a gift from God, a powerful leader who is fireborn, and many manly men who are like God and are also fireborn. They are pure and clear in heart. Your men are determined protectors whom are warlike. They are not lame or limpy. They are carrying a hammer with a sword, the word of God, and torch, and they are defenders of men. When they are in unity, they are powerful and complete, and they are grasping the heel of God. They are determined and stubborn to see Yahweh is salvation over Nassau and their families. God has sent the Holy Spirit, one who assists men to be wise and to recognize the unheeded prophetess, because God is our judge, and to make judgment and not to be rebellion in the church. My beloved handmaidens, who are like God and are like and are God, I'm sorry, my beloved handmaidens who are like God and are God-like and are of a loving good spirit, who are also determined and stubborn like the men, are pure and clear of heart. They are a gift to the body. They are ladies of the home with beautiful soft hair and are youthful to the eye, a beauty only the Lord can give. They are like a bee, busy doing all for their families, and whatever the Lord asks of them, they go about. They do whatever the Lord asks of them, I'm sorry. They go about their day cheerful and merry, like the five virgins, busy watching for the Lord's return. He has sent us women from Judah full of praise, whom are clothed with the beauty of the Lord. My messenger and my angels carry their praise right to the throne room. Jehovah has been gracious and found favor among his handmaidens. The women have outstretched their arms to those who have been wandering looking for family and little wanderers who God has sent in new hope, who have found a new family of believers. My beloved children of God, my beloved children of new hope, God is gracious towards you and he is satisfied. He has brought us into the heavenlies, and he calls us his friend. You are beautiful, handsome, noble, and gentle. You are Christ's bearers, anointed, and wanting to be followers of Christ. Remember, the victory is yours. Amen. Amen. That is what every single person's name in here means. And when I look at this, I get so excited. There's so much power. There's so much love. It's just, to me, I'm a very simple person. Things like this really excite me. But I was excited, and David read it, and he was really touched by it. And he said, Diane, it's a law. And it's true. There's so much power. There's so much love. There's so much encouragement. There's so much praise. There's so many God-like. And there's so many of us that are ready to go to battle for him. You know, so let's remember that. You don't know when you say somebody's name what the spiritual name really means. Amen? Okay. So today I'm going to talk on God's love. And I'm basing it on what happened to me here quite a few years ago on a Wednesday evening. I know some of you might remember, but I was sitting right over here where Virginia is sitting. And we were singing the song, In Awe of You. And Mark, I know I'm putting you on the spot. Can you just do it? Can you sing the song for us? In Awe of You? I stand in awe of you. Yes.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Mark. But when we sang that song, we got to the part, who can grasp your infinite wisdom? Who can fathom the depth of your love? And sometimes, be careful what you ask for, because I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, I need to know, what do you mean by the fathoming of your love? And all of a sudden, I wasn't in here anymore. I was over the ocean, and he just dropped me into the middle of the ocean, and I started sinking, and I was sinking, and I was sinking. And as I was going down, I could feel, I know it's when you come up, but when you're going down, when I was going down, I could just feel the squeezing and the tightening, and I couldn't breathe, and he kept saying, that's my love, that's my love, that's my love. And I kept going down further and further and further. And I was, they said I was on my tippy toes like a ballerina, standing with my arms extended, trying to get hold of him, because I could see him above the water, but I couldn't reach him. But all he kept saying to me was, this is my love, this is my love, this is my love. And I got to the point where I said, Jesus, you gotta stop, I can't breathe, you're gonna crush me. And immediately it stopped. And I think about that, how much he loves us, that he holds on to us 24/7, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. He's never letting us go. Even when we walk away, he's not going to let us go. He's holding on to us, and he's loving us, and he's saying, come back to me, come back to me. And we do. Eventually, he's married to the backslider. Every backslider will be back into church, loving him and doing what he's called them to do. But that was a love that you can't put into words. There's no way that you could put that into words. And it was such an unconditional love, because I have failed God over and over and over again. And I will continue to fail God over and over again, because none of us will ever do it perfectly. And he just shared with me, as the days went on after that experience, he said, I want you to love me and to love one another like I have. And it's a big undertaking to love like Christ loved. I have tried my hardest to do that for him. I have tried my hardest to love my husband the way the Lord tells me to love him, to honor, to respect him, and to never speak ill of him. And I failed at that. And I just did a few weeks ago, huh, Mo? But when I speak about my husband, I need to build him up. That is what us wives are supposed to do to our husbands, is to build them up. Amen. And to love them. And you got new people in here that are getting married and have only been married for a short time. If you want to have a long, loving marriage, treat your husband with respect. Amen. And to love him. Yes. Honor him, build him up, and shut your mouth when you want to say something that's not good. Bite your tongue. He gave us a long one. That's why we can stick it out, so we can cut it off a little bit. And the women, you need to honor and love your husbands. Love them. I'm sorry, I'm supposed to be saying men are supposed to be loving their wives as Christ loved the church. And how much did Christ love the church? He died for it, didn't he?
Amen.
So, men, love your wives. Love the ground they walk on. Esteem them. Thank you. Thank them when they do something for you. Be there for them. Be their support. Be their strength. Be their security. Be their lover. Be their friend. Women need somebody. They need someone to talk to. And women, do the same for your men. Love them. Esteem them. Make sure that they're the most important thing in your lives. And we all have friends. Don't speak ill of your friends. Encourage them. Speak good of them. We're supposed to be different than the world, right? But when we're out there and we're speaking nasty about our brothers and sisters in Christ, you never know who's sitting around you. You know, it's like I was at Walmart not too long ago. And there was a, I hate that place. There was a woman in there. No. I know. And there was a woman in there. And this woman was reprimanding her child. And it wasn't very nice what she was saying to this child. She was swearing at this child. She hit this child on the back. And then she grabbed this child by the arm and started dragging it down the aisle. And I came around the corner as she was dragging this child and hitting him. And guess what I saw? On her pocketbook. Jesus is Lord. I went, oh my God. What a horrible witness that woman is to the world. She is just like the world. She is not God-like. She is not one of God's children for treating her child like that. God never wanted any of his children to be treated like that. She needs to go home, repent, change her ways, and treat that child with respect and love that child. It's a gift from God. It really is. Many of us have gotten our children through adoption. Many of us have had natural. But they are a gift from God. Cherish them. They leave all too soon. So we have to be examples, and we have to be the love of God out there. You know, when you're out there and husband and wives are fighting, people know you're a Christian because they just saw you pray and say grace over your meal. But now you're sitting there tearing each other apart. Great example for Christ, right? We need to become different from the world. We need to start being an example to the world. This world is dying and going to the pit of hell very fast. And if the church doesn't wake up pretty soon, the church is going to be following with it because there's too much of the world in the church. And we need to get the world out of the church and have God be the forefront. So let's turn to Romans 8. 38 through 39. This is going to be really short. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present or things to come, nor height nor depth, nor any other created things shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Nothing that we do, nothing that the enemy throws at us can separate us from the love of God. God is there. He's got an outstretched arm, and he's there to grab you, to pull you up out of the gutter. He's there for you. He's there to love on you. We need to ask him. You know, God is a gentleman. He is waiting for us to ask him. And, you know, it's like the movie we watched the other night. I forgot what the name of it was. Revelation. And there was the rapture, and there was this granddaughter with her grandparents, and the grandparents were raptured, and the little girl was not raptured. And Jesus spoke to her afterwards, and she says, I know about Jesus, but he said, you never asked me into your heart. So we need to ask God also. You know, if we want something from God, we need to ask him. We need to ask him to change our hearts. Too many of us are getting a stony heart. Too many things go wrong in our lives. And we become hard and we become bitter. Ask the Lord to take that bitterness and to take that stony heart and make it soft and pliable. Because it's his heart. He lives there. He inhabits our heart. He doesn't want a stone wall there. He wants a nice pliable heart so that he can use you. God is looking for people to use, and they're sitting right here. Hallelujah. Every one of us can be used. Amen. Yeah, it's like the other day I was speaking with David, and I said, David, sometimes I feel like a failure when it comes to God because I'm not an avid reader. I don't really like to read. I don't pray like a lot of people do. I talk to him all day. And David says, that's praying, and I know it's praying, but you know, when you listen to somebody that has this beautiful flowing prayer language, you go, oh, I'm nothing like that, and you condemn yourself. And then David said to me, he goes, Diane, let me ask you a question. You don't pray, you talk to him. I said, yes. You don't read all the time. I said, no. He said, do you talk about him when you get an opportunity to talk about him? I said, yes, I do. And sometimes when I don't have that opportunity, I will talk about them. And he says, Diane, you got the love of God in you because you're freely speaking about him. You're not waiting for a church service to feel comfortable in the church and talk about him. You're talking about him out there amongst people that are unbelievers. So you have the love of God in you. You have the love of Jesus in you. The Holy Spirit is taking you by the hand and he's helping you. So there's nothing that will separate us from that love of God. Okay, let's go to Ephesians 3, 17 through 19. I just love God's love. You know, it sounds silly, but his love is so beautiful. And there's no conditions on it. That's the most important thing. There's not one condition on his God, on his love. The only one was accept Jesus so that you could live with him. And that's not even a condition. That was for our benefit. Okay, Ephesians 3. These glasses are really not good. I do better with my cheaters than with these prescription ones. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height of his love. Just listen to that. The width, the depth, the height, and the length of his love. It's infinite. It's never ending. To know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge through you, may be filled with all the fullness of God. That's it. When I look at my husband, I know that he loves me this much. You know, but when I look at God and think about God, I can't do this. And if everybody in the world put their hands together, it's not going to be the length of his love, or the width of his love, or the depth of his love. We got to realize he loves us. I remember one day when we were here in service, all he kept telling me was say, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. And I did, and I didn't stop until he released me to stop. And I kept saying over and over again, God loves you, God loves you, God loves you. And he does, but he wants us to understand that. There's too many of us that have not had good relationships with fathers where it's hard for us to receive that love from God, that unconditional love. I know that I had that situation with my dad. I moved out of my home in 1976, and he died 8 years ago. And in that whole time, if I saw my dad 10 times, was a lot. And I always wanted from my father just to hear 3 words, I love you. To this day, I've never heard those words, I love you. But we were living here in Albany area, and the rest of my family is up in like Plattsburgh and Tupper Lake, and his wife was up in Plattsburgh, and he was over in Vermont. And the night before he died, they called me and asked me if I could go over there so he wouldn't be alone. So when I went over there, I walked into the room. I believe you and Sheila were with me. And when I walked in, my dad was totally exposed on the bed. And his diaper was hanging off, and I could see everything. So he's my dad. I walked in like the man in the tent and covered up my father so I couldn't see him. But when I got there, all he kept saying was he wanted Jell-O. He wanted Jell-O, so I got him Jell-O. And with my dad, I never had a love for him because I never knew him. And I was feeding him Jell-O. And all of a sudden, God goes, you have a love for this man that's incomprehensible. And I went, oh my God, it took my breath away. That I really had a love for my dad, and God was letting me know that there really was a deep-rooted love in me for my father. And he says, you don't need to have him say, I love you, or that you forgive him for what has been done. I've taken care of it all. Amen. And that night, I had such a release, because all I wanted was, Dad, why? Dad, I love you. I wanted him to say, and I wanted to ask me for forgiveness for what had gone on in our lives. But all of a sudden, my Father in heaven took care of that, and he did it for me. So to this day, I can love my father even though he's in heaven. I love my dad with my whole heart, The only thing I'm sorry for is we never had that time here on earth that we could have had that. But you know what? One day, prayerfully, he is in heaven, and we'll be able to have that time together.
Amen.
Notes are tough because you just keep getting ahead of yourself. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with our brothers and sisters to grasp how wide, how long, high, and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with the measure of all the fullness of God. God wants his love inside of you, you know, to that full measure. Both of these passages speak of the love of God. When I think about the words height and depth, the first thing that comes to my mind is the ocean and the sky. God's love is deeper than the deepest part of the ocean. And that's going back to when he dropped me into the middle of the ocean. That was the most awesome experience I ever had. I couldn't escape that grasp of his love when I was down there. There was no escaping it because he wasn't letting me go. I can never be separated from his love. This is an incredible truth that gives me strength and hope for my present and for tomorrow. All of us need hope and love for tomorrow. If we look at the sky, we see the beauty of the stars, and we can see the love of God reflected in that beauty. When we look at the heavens, it's the most beautiful thing in the world. You look at those stars and how God put them together for pictures for us. How he put the northern star up there to direct the sailors and anyone that's in the woods that they can find their way. You look at those stars, you look at the northern lights, you look at the clouds. My biggest thing when I was a kid was looking at the clouds and finding shapes. They're beautiful. And that's God's love. You look at the sun and it gives us heat. When you go out in the sun, you know, when I was out, it was a week with no sunshine. And I just looked at my husband and I said, I need sun. You know, my body was just craving it. I needed to see it. And when the sun came out, I felt that love of that sun that warmed me up. Love warms you up. It cuddles you and it gives you that little feeling. It's a beautiful time. So remember when you look up, that's how high his love is. And it's an infinite space. We don't know how far it goes. The scientists haven't even gotten to the end of it. They'll never find the end. You know. The height of God's love isn't simply high over us, but it draws us upwards in worship towards God. Throughout Scripture, we are admonished to lift up our eyes. When we're having worship, lift up your eyes to God. Don't look down. Lift them up and look up high. And put your hands in the air and praise him and worship him and adore him. That's what we're here for. You know, you put your hands up here and you're surrounding and you're saying, okay, God, I'm all yours. Have your way with me. Use me. I can't wait until we're being used by God in here with words of knowledge and tongues and interpretation of tongues and the miracles. And wow, I can't wait. We've had it. We got to get it back. We got to desire it. We got to hunger it. We got to want it. He's referred to as the Most High. That indicates he wants us to look up to him, doesn't he? A church that is strong in the expression of the height of God's love will be a worshiping church and one that exalts and adores God from the heart. We need to let it out. Let it out. You know, you see many churches and sometimes we're there during worship. We're leaning on a chair. What excitement would it be if our worship family saw everybody in here standing up, everybody with their hands raised, everybody clapping or dancing? That would be an encouragement to them. We need to give them encouragement. But God wants our love poured out to him like this. Look up, look up, look up. When you're looking down, you're looking at the devil. Why are you looking at him? Why are you wasting your time on him? Look up, exalt him, worship him, praise him. When you're crying and you're having a hard time, look up. He'll give you an answer. He'll soften your heart. He'll heal your heart. God will always do it. He won't not do it. He won't if you never ask him. But you got to ask him, and he will do it. There's been many times people been in here during worship and been healed.
Amen.
Many times they've gotten answers to difficult questions. God has met them and just loved on them. Come on, we need to get back to that. We need to get back to that. That wanting to enter his throne room, sit at his feet, worship him. Oh my God, can you see us all going up into the heavenlies and sitting at his feet with a pure and contrite heart and just worshiping him, just loving on him? Oh, it gives me goosebumps. It really does. I just love God. I really do. I love Jesus and the Holy Spirit. I never want to neglect any one of them. But and he longs for it. He longs for us to worship him. He longs for us to love on him. You know, it's like if you have children or a spouse and you never receive love from them, what happens? You start dying inside. I remember there used to be a little girl here, Brittany. She used to always give me a hug, and then she got to an age where she decided she didn't want to hug me anymore. And I looked at her, I said, Brittany, do you know that every day a person doesn't get a hug, they die a little bit? She never stopped hugging me after that. But it's true. If you don't get a touch, if you don't get a hug, something in you is missing. You need that affection. You know, if you don't have a human, get your pet, get your cat, get your rabbit, do whatever. Hug on that rabbit. There'll be affection coming back because you know what? That cat and that dog and that rabbit or snake or whatever you have will never disappoint you. They'll never hurt you. So get your love from them. You know, people say, oh, they don't give love. Yes, they do. When you're hurting, they know it, and they're right there comforting you. So we can use people and we can use animals. But get that love.
Can I borrow Angel?
Yeah, you can have Angel. But it's important. It's important to be affectionate with one another and love one another. And I know there's people in here that have a hard time hugging. It's very hard for them. But you know what? Do one or two, and then God will do the rest. You know, he'll give you that desire to hug. Well, the reason that people don't like to be hugged is because they were never hugged as a child. And when they did go for a hug, they were pushed away. So it's very hard to receive a hug. So give people that leeway. If they don't like to hug, because David's a big hugging person, and he thinks everybody else is. So if you have trouble hugging, just give one or two people a hug, and let other people know, I have trouble hugging, and they'll understand. God will make a way. He'll soften our hearts. So I really spoke about all of my notes. So, but remember, God's love for you is deep. It's wide, it's high, it's very long, and there's nothing that you can do to stop him from loving you. But the one thing that is very important is, let's not be the world anymore. Let's not be the world. You know, when we're out, let people know that we are Christ-like, that we are Christians, and beyond Christians, we're the children of God. And that his love is flowing through us. So that they can come up to you and say, what's different about you? I want what you have. When was the last time that happened to any of us? In a long time. Let's change our ways. Let's become Christ-like. Let's become like that picture on the wall. The ugliness being taken off and the beauty coming out. And if we can get to that point, this world will be a better place because one, then two, then three, then 1,000, then 10,000 are going to change to become like Christ. Amen? So that's it for me today. And that's it. Sorry.
Great.